Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kid Tech studio. Kid Tech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintech.net. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light Plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Yes, the Canucks getting blown out, walloped in the peg last night. It was a fiery post-game show for us last night, Sat.
Yeah, people were fired up. You were fired up. Our listeners were fired up. And apathy did not set in last night. Today, the tone, at least from the interaction I've seen on the shows, on the text inbox, and also on social media, it is more apathetic today.
Mm.
But we'll get to that in overrated, underrated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, part of it is probably just venting a little bit.
it hasn't reached some of the down years during the Benning era, but yeah, the fan base not happy, not believing, and there's good reason for it. That leads us to the Open today.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. Yes, Canucks will try to right the ship when they take on the LA Kings tomorrow night at Rogers Arena, beginning a three-game homestand. But, Sat, I'm at the point that the team we've seen through these first 43 games is the team I'm expecting to see for the remainder of the season.
So are you putting the fork in them, proverbially?
I'm not necessarily putting a fork in them because I see what the rest of the Western Conference looks like. So a playoff spot is still a possibility in the very, very mediocre middle of the Western Conference. Don't have a ton of confidence in teams like Calgary or Utah or any of the other teams that might be fighting for the second wildcard spot with the Vancouver Canucks. But this team has been in free fall now since the start of December. They have just 7 wins in 21 games played since December 1st. 7 wins in 21 games. The only thing that's kept them afloat is the famous Gary Bettman loser point, creating fake parity since 2005, the loser point. All healthy for all. No, it's not really. The Canucks are 7-7-7. Might be good at a slot machine, but not so much if you were hoping to be a Stanley Cup contender. They have a bang-on 500-point percentage. So, yes, they are the very definition of average. Again, only thanks to the loser point, because in reality, 7 wins and 14 losses in their last 21 games. In that time frame, no team shoots the puck less than the Vancouver Canucks. They are the bottom in the league in goals per 60, well, close to the bottom, just over 2 goals in the 60 minutes played at 5-on-5 in a 6-week time frame. That's not very good.
Yeah.
You're scoring about 2 goals a game at 5-on-5. Pretty bad. Pettersson has a goal and 3 assists in 15 games since December 1st. So I know he missed a little bit of time with injury, but a goal and 3 assists? There's like 300 plus more players that have had more points than Pettersson at 5-on-5 in that time frame. Sure, they've played more games, but it's 4 points in 15 games. Boosted by the power play, his numbers have been a little bit. Miller hasn't been much better, 8 points in 16 during that stretch. So what are we to believe other than this team is exactly like the Calgary Flames are, just like Utah, just like the St. Louis Blues, middle of the road, bubble playoff team? And if that's what you are, why are we even bothering talking about adding a defenseman, spending an asset to add to this roster, add to this group right now? They haven't even won consecutive games since November. How can you add to this team when they're showing you that they're very mediocre, maybe even less than that? What are you adding for? And I don't see a reason to add to this group unless they start showing more and unless their star players start playing like their star players.
Was this your SpongeBob, I'm out moment?
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm out.
I feel like Kenny Smith in the Vince Carter dunk contest. It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how you feel.
That's how I feel.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, you played 43 games and they've been bang average.
Yeah.
And it feels worse than average because they've lost 24 games. Overtime, a lot of them, sure, but it's still 19 wins and 24 losses so far on the season. So you've watched your team lose five more games than they've won so far this year. It's tough. Like, so it feels like they're even worse than mediocre, but they've been bang average. It ultimately comes down to Pettersson and JT.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get good performances from those guys and you reeled off Pettersson's stats, they're dead in the water. It's done. It's over. Like, you're not going anywhere, right? Yeah. And what we've seen over the course of a year for Pettersson is, you know, substandard for his level, especially with the new contract, his production. JT's been this half season, because last year he was great, playoffs he was good, and then this half year he's whatever he is right now.
Yeah. And he's not good. He hasn't been engaged as well as he normally is. Defensively, he's been a bit of a wreck. You know, there's another just completely missed assignment, missed read that you wouldn't normally see out of JT Miller, certainly not out of JT Miller last year, that we've seen numerous occasions this year. Plus, the offense isn't really there. I mean, there's a lot. It's a lot of bad play, poor play, uncharacteristic play. And if you're Rick Tocchet, how are you building this team up if you don't have the two cornerstones that you need in your forward group to build around?
And I'm not even sure what the solution is with JT, because based on what we know about his situation, he needed a leave of absence for a while, right, to deal with personal things. And he talked about his biggest struggle is up and mentally right now for him, trying to figure things out day to day, let alone trying to figure out other things. Should we be surprised that he has some pretty up and down performances? Whatever he's been dealing with hasn't magically disappeared.
No.
And if anybody who has dealt with some level of mental health, whatever the issue is, it's not like you figure out something and it's better and you move on with your life. It's you learn how to deal with something and you learn how to move forward with something and how to manage it. That's what it is. I don't think he's figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what he's dealing with. I don't know what's going on, but he certainly doesn't look like a player who is consistently in the right headspace right now. It's very clear from you mentioned the mistakes he's making on the ice, the lack of focus in moments, the lack of intensity. And then he has days, and you know, days you feel good. He's spectacular. The 4-point performance in Montreal.
That Montreal game, man.
Incredible. Best game of the season from him. So we know it's in him, but how can he be consistent in doing so? And I have no idea how to answer that question and how he's going to get there. Pettersson, doesn't he not represent the team where it's the promise of what he could be, but not what he's shown? Every once in a while, there's a good game. You kind of talk yourself into, man, if he can do this again, that Toronto game, they might get on a roll. Because if he gets hot, the team gets hot, right? We're back to that same conversation. And there's still almost half a season left. A lot can change if these guys get hot, but you're getting to the point where it's becoming a hope and a prayer. It's one thing to say, hey, you'll turn the corner, you'll get better, but you're starting to tick away the time.
You can't realistically add to this team unless you start to see, at the very least, one of Pettersson or Miller show that they can play to their potential this season.
Well, and
there's no reason to spend an asset, especially with the way that the defense market is going and how expensive it's going to be to add a top-tier defenseman. I just don't see the reason for it.
Well, and I don't disagree, but I don't know if that's really changed this year. I don't think, unless they show they're like really big level contenders, that they would feel comfortable spending significant assets for rentals.
Yeah.
I think the goal has always been, if you're making a big acquisition, it's going to be with somebody who has time, right? Has term. And I think when you look at how much time is left in the season, how few healthy games they've had, it was the first game of the season that had the guys healthy. I know Dakota Joshua is missing, but they're top guys. They're all healthy last night. That was the first game. What does it look like over the course of the next few weeks, right? And I think the deadline is going to be the point. Like, it's pretty obvious. But at some point, this organization is going to have to pivot.
Yeah.
And I think there's still enough time where you let it play out a little bit here, right? And to your point, if you get hot, if these guys get going, Pettersson gets going, JT gets going and figures this stuff out, we know how good Quinn has been, and you have Hronek back now, that maybe they find something, right? And I think that given the talent on the team, logically, you would expect a hot streak at some point. You would. Like, you would expect at some point these guys are going to get hot. Now, is that hot streak going to be enough to make them a contender? I don't know. But there should be a hot streak in them. But just because that's logically what should happen, and if you look at historical precedent and how seasons work, it's likely to happen. It's no guarantee.
Yeah.
And if there's something so wrong with this group right now, it could be a year where they don't figure it out. So at some point, they have to consider pivoting. And I think right now, where are they closer to? Being a team that pivots at the deadline or a team that acts like a contender at the deadline?
For me, it's being a team that pivots. Because at this point, like I see no pathway, or there are fewer pathways, a more narrow pathway to becoming a Stanley Cup contender with the way that this current group is playing. Certainly, this season feels like that's a bridge too far to get to. We're still talking. Yeah, we're midway through the season, and you're still looking at this team and being like, are they even going to make the playoffs?
Well, yeah, because right now they're outside the playoff picture. Now, Calgary lost, so you're going to lose ground to Calgary, but and you're those outside teams, the playoff picture.
They're not good. You know, Calgary is what they are. They're punching above their weight to be where they are right now. Utah, they show flashes. They show that they're not so good at times because they're a middle-of-the-road hockey team. St. Louis, same thing, and the Canucks are right there with them. Can't get any consistent flow going with this team because they're not good. As long as Miller and Pettersson are middle-of-the-road type players, you're a middle-of-the-road type team. So it's hard for me to say that they deserve or they shouldn't pivot from being a team that wants to add, because I see no reason to add to this group through the first 43 games of the season. I saw the quote out of William Nylander today, essentially telling everybody in Toronto to relax about their three-game losing streak. You know why you can tell people to relax? Because you're first place.
Yeah, you're top three in the division.
You can afford to lose a three-game. You can have a three-game stretch where you throw out a bunch of duds because you're in first place near the 50-game mark of the season. You've created the cushion that allows you to have a January lull. The Canucks don't have that. They don't have a ton of time to wait for JT and Pettersson to figure it out. You know, I have a hard time being hard on JT because of the situation, knowing that it's more complex than a player just struggling to find his game right now. It's not as black and white as that usually seems in professional sports. So I do feel for the situation and feel that there is some nuance there. But at the same time, if you're trying to plan for the trade deadline and you don't know what's going to happen with JT, if he's going to be able to find his game this year, it's really hard to add around that. With Pettersson, okay, we've seen some better games, but again, going back to those stats, a goal and three assists over his past five games, you can count on one hand the amount of five-on-five goals he's scored since last March. This was the guy that partially carried your five-on-five offense, right? The old takes were, oh, Miller's just a power play merchant and Pettersson's the guy who's really driving the five-on... Well, what's he driving? He's not driving anything right now. You need more out of your $11.6 million player. You need more out of JT Miller. You need consistent performances. And when Rick Tocchet says, I need guys to be more committed, and it's on me to get them more committed, that raises a huge red flag that we're at this point of the season, and he's saying words like, I got to get these guys committed, because you should have all that right now. And the fact that he feels he doesn't lie on Phil DiGiuseppe, doesn't lie on Jonathan Lekkerimäki coming up from Abbotsford and not being able to help carry the mail and play to the staples of the team, it's got to rely on your best players. And they haven't had that same level of commitment, that same level of focus that they had from this group last year.
No, they haven't at all. And I mean, I see the calls coming in for the head coach. You got to get rid of the head coach. You really can't get rid of the head coach. I mean, you can move on from the coach in the offseason if you're doing a complete retool, but I don't think you can fire this head coach in season because this group is not committed to them right now. I don't think this group deserves it, and I don't think this group, if you're firing the head coach, is going to have enough of a desired effect. Like, if that's what you need, if this group needs another head coach, what's your confidence that this group has what it would take mentally to get through four rounds in the playoffs and win a Stanley Cup this year. You know what I mean?
Like they can't even win back-to-back games right now.
If you fire the coach and get a coaching bump, it's about like what is your ceiling, right? What does a coaching bump get you? Like you're not getting to the Stanley Cup final. So to me, the head coach thing doesn't even factor into the equation this year. This offseason, could they have a conversation about how willing Tocchet is to stay long-term?
Yeah.
How much they may want to move in a different direction? That may happen. But if that happens, that's also happening in conjunction with major, major changes to this team's core.
It's, I get the coaching bump thing. And I know our producer in the plain white tee, Josh Elliott Wolf, had this take on the People Show. But how can you really give this core another head coach? Right, you went through the Travis Green era, and for a time it looked really good, especially in that COVID year. In that playoff, they really committed, they really bought in and punched above their weight, gave Vegas everything that they could handle, thanks to Thatcher Demko as well, of course. But they bought in, and he got that team to be greater than the sum of its parts because of the buy-in that they had. But it wore off. When Boudreau first came in, he had them going. He had them clicking. Over 100-point pace for the final 58, whatever games it was of that season. They fell just short of the playoffs after that magical, you know, half season plus under Bruce Boudreau, but it obviously came to an abrupt end the moment the next season started. And they bring in Rick Tocchet. There's an initial coach bump. It lasted all through last year, through most of last year, and now it's worn off again. I mean, to me, this is a problem with the core of the team that you can't escape from. When they start to think that their bleep don't stink, they start to lose it a little bit. And Tocchet had a brief comment earlier this year. Did guys think it was going to be easy coming into this season after everything they accomplished last year? Maybe. You know, he talked about training camp and some of the things that he did to try and up their level, but maybe it sacrificed some of their staples at the start of the season. I mean, this team, this group has had a problem of thinking they've accomplished a lot without having actually accomplished anything other than a second round playoff appearance and giving the eventual Stanley Cup runners up a pretty good run for their money in that second round series. What else have they accomplished? Not much.
The thing you're also dealing with here is you have Quinn Hughes playing even better than he did last year, where he won the Norris Trophy.
He's a top five player in the league right now.
You have a couple more years with him under contract. It's not so simple to just pivot either and be like, hey, you know what? Let's just trade Pedersen. Let's just trade JT. Let's just, you know, go through a rebuild. Does he want to go through that after what he's gone through with this team before? And if you mess things up, right? Or things get messed up enough, you're not going to have Quinn here for another contract.
Yeah.
So the stakes all of a sudden become very, very high if you're looking at, are we making major, major changes to this group, right? And we know the player, Quinn Hughes, loves the head coach.
Yeah.
Like he really does.
Loves the head coach.
So it's not a simple situation. Now, with all that being said, I do think there are things this team should be trying to do differently with the puck to generate more. I understand the injuries. I understand your best players have had their issues. But the fact that they've struggled to generate offense so much so far this
year. They don't shoot the puck, even by shot attempts. Only Chicago takes fewer shot attempts over the last 2 months of play.
And I think those things, not that they fall on the coach, but it's like, it's time to find answers. And I know it's been very difficult because not only has he been dealing with the X's and O's stuff, he's been dealing with a lot of off-ice stuff and a lot of personality things, and not to mention rumors and speculation and all the trade stuff as well. So he's had his hands full. He says he doesn't have enough fingers to plug the holes, right? Yeah. Like, you know, that's kind of been a problem here, right? So what does that mean? That means you can't solve all your issues. And how do you get to a point, and what can this organization do to find a way for them to generate more? They have so much support around with the other coaches, but like it's time to figure out some answers because they've been trying the same thing and they're generating next to nothing right now.
The whole idea of like making a coaching change right now, you know what it is to me? It's the meme of the water tank having a hole in it and the guy slapping a piece of tape on it. Like that's the Canucks making a coaching change and how I feel about it. It's Yeah, you can slap a Band-Aid on this, but, you know, at the end of the day, the problems are still what the problems are with this team. And you may get to a point, and I feel like we're getting closer to it, that you decide you have to move on from one of JT or Pettersson. And for the longest time, I haven't felt like that is a pathway to making this team better for this season, and I still don't think that that's a pathway to making this team better for this season.
At this stage, if you're moving one of those guys, it's kind of like the pivot point.
Yeah.
You're because you're probably not winning that trade in the moment. If you do, it would take some time for you to do so, which means you're taking the loss for the greater good.
And I still think it's more likely, my own personal opinion is it would be better to move on from JT rather than Pettersson, simply because of the age and the potential of Elias Pettersson, and that gives you the best chance of building a cup contender beyond having to move one of these players. But that's where you're getting closer to your pivot point, and ultimately you're making a decision for this core that says maybe this is part of the greater good for the future of this team if we can't find a way to make this work. And obviously this front office has contemplated that to a certain extent. Well, because of all of the rumors we've heard around these two players.
They've listened, but the biggest thing to take away is they've set a really high price.
Yeah.
And the price is so high, it's probably not going to get realized.
Yeah.
So if the Canucks are moving these guys, at the moment, it would be them taking less to make a deal happen, which means you're making a deal for the greater good and you're pivoting.
Yeah.
And they're not there yet.
So is that pivot point closer to the deadline? Absolutely. But right now, with the team playing the way that they are, I don't know if I see a different way to go about this season for the Vancouver Canucks. All right, quickly in the Canucks Central roundup, Brisebois and Lekkomäki sent back to Abbotsford. So in the meantime, Canucks still trying to do the thing where they toll cap space on days off and be able to maximize that in hopes of seeing this team get to a point where you want to add to this group.
Which is what they should be doing as much as possible.
And the LA Kings are in town tomorrow night. The Tanner Jeannot revenge game? Do we see some revenge for Brock Besser on Tanner Jeannot? That's the storyline going into tomorrow night. Aside from, maybe the Canucks can put together a pretty good performance.
Who's responsible for getting the vengeance?
I don't know. Derek Forbert? Maybe?
I don't know.
Somebody? Anybody? Bueller? Looking for your favorite culinary content? Food Network has all new seasons of your favorite food shows on Channel 410 on Rogers Xfinity TV. Kevin Woodley, the goalie guru, he's next on Sportsnet 650.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.